Sarasvati Devi Guru Hani Charani Nivasesis and Hani Prasputide Tarani. Om Ganatamananda Sya Janajana Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Upakadamayam Dati Sapantantikam Manja Kapaturasyan Pripasin Nubaya Bishavatitanam Pramineyo Vaisabhinam. We've been reading the prayers of Queen Kunti Devi. Very, very special words that she has spoken. Very special because the Brijbasis, the residents of Vrindavan, have a very, very intimate relationship with Krishna. And their level is sometimes much higher than we have the ability to understand. And their mood we cannot imitate. But Kunti Devi, she's aware of this wonderful level of love that the residents of Vrindavan have, the wonderful relationship that the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. But she's not quite on that level. She's on a lower level. And her words, therefore, are something that we can follow if we enter into them very deeply. So in the present part section of her prayers, after expressing her deep attachment to Krishna, that she would prefer calamities, extreme difficulties without Krishna's, with Krishna's presence, than a peaceful situation where everything is nice and no anxiety, but no Krishna. So sometimes I think we are just the opposite. We would prefer at any cost, just some peace, and just to get our material situation satisfied and peaceful and have enough of this and enough of that, peace. But that's one level that automatically comes to someone who is in, who is a devotee, who is a deep devotee, because he sees Krishna in every circumstance. But that is not the consciousness that will bring one to the spiritual world. Because if I'm thinking that I am most concerned about my peace basically means my happiness, and I think that spiritual life or religion is meant ultimately to give me my peace and my happiness, well, who's the center? And it is, obviously, it is. But real spiritual life is just the opposite. It takes us from the center and it places Krishna in the center. That is what actual religion is. Savadamam Prityajam Mam Ekam. Krishna says, Mam Ekam Saranam. Unto me only you should surrender. In other words, make me the center. Make me the center. And this is what Krishna consciousness means. It means to change our center. Easy to understand, but not so easy to do, because we're in the material world with material consciousness, with what we call a false ego, ahankara, ahankara vimudatma, bewildered by false ego. This is specifically what we think, that I am the center. And this is clearly maya, meaning this is clearly illusion, that I am the center. Because even though I think I am the center, I cannot get anyone else to agree that I am the center. Because everyone is thinking, I am the center. Wait a second, you have it a little bit wrong. Instead of you being the center, it's me who's the center. No, 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 no. Everyone is saying, no, no. Everything should be centered around what I want and what I need. And this is illusion, because it's illusion because it's just not what is real. It can never be. It can never be. And one day even, at some point, not only are we not the center, but we will be kicked out off the stage completely. You know what I mean by that, Nikunj? What?
Everything will be finished.
Katamukya. That means, you know what I mean? Dying. How are you? So Kunti Devi is praying that even if there's difficulty, and this is the art of living a life when everyone's life has difficulty in it. The art of living one's life when there's difficulty is using that difficulty to turn us to Krishna. We have to, of course, do whatever we have to do on a practical level, but we should turn to Krishna, knowing that only by Krishna's mercy can the difficulty be removed. And actually, the difficulty is not the difficulty. It's that we're not with Krishna that's the difficulty. So sometimes difficulties are blessings because they make us turn to Krishna. So in this part of Kunti Devi's prayers, she's turning to the Lord and saying, because after all, Krishna is standing right in front of her, and he's on a chariot, and he's soon to leave, but he's a person, and he is her brother's son. That means he is her nephew. So he is her nephew, and he's very respectful to her, but yet he's the unlimited, all-powerful, supreme Lord, and all in existence rests upon him. Now, this is, in itself is impossible for us to understand. It is a chintya shakti, means inconceivable energy. This is Krishna's inconceivable energy. And not only that, not only do universes come from him, he's in every single person's heart. He's in your heart, 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 in your heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddhishe arjuna tishit. He's in everyone's heart. Mata smitim gyanam apavanam chayana. And everything that we think is dependent on him. All our knowledge is dependent on him. We should never be proud of our knowledge because it's all dependent on him. And we've all had the experience that, just to say, if we're going to take an exam, and we've studied very, very hard, and then the answer we studied, but we can't remember it. And then suddenly it comes. And even the greatest scientists in the world, most of their scientific inspirations, they don't come by them thinking carefully about it because they are great geniuses. Rather, they come just in a moment. That's a gift of Krishna. So no one has the right to be proud. Because as Krishna gives in a moment, also, he's called Hari. Hari means takes away also. So we should be humble. So Kunti Devi, in the last prayer that we read, we heard and read, she said, thinking about how inconceivable, how amazing it was that this supreme person is standing right in front of her and offering her respect because he's in the position of her nephew. So she said, the last thing we read, she said, "O Lord, I consider you to be eternal time, unstoppable time. No one can make time reverse. There's always some movie or another about, or a book about, a time machine, and someone gets into some capsule and goes back in time or goes to the future, but it's just imagination. Krishna is unstoppable time. Kalosmin loka chaya krit. And Krishna is time. Ultimately, in the material world, he crushes everything. So you are eternal time, the supreme controller. You have no beginning. You have no end. You are everywhere. But yet he's still there with, right in front of her. And in distributing mercy, and this is the point she's going to talk about more in the next verse, the one we'll read tonight. In distributing your mercy and being kind to everyone, you are equal to everyone. The dissension between living beings are due to social intercourse, just due to the interactions of different people with different fate, with different karma. But it is not due to Krishna. Even though everything is dependent on him and he's the supreme controller, but still the difficulties in this world aren't due to him. So it seems contradictory. He's the supreme controller. Everything depends on him. But the difficulties in the world are due to us. So it's a very interesting point, and we spoke about that last week. Now we'll go on to today's verse, and maybe that point will come up again because a similar topic is being discussed. So now we will turn on our magic machine and see if magic happens. Now we will turn on the magic machine and see if... Now we will... Doesn't seem like it's happening, does it? Is the little thing plugged in? Huh? Yeah, well, guess what? We need to take it out and put it in again. See if we can convince it to be good.
Huh?
It did. Isn't this exciting? This is why on television they have commercials. Yes, this was the last verse. Mm. And now here's today's verse.
This is 29. Naveda kastit bhagavam stakir shitam.
Naveda kastit bhagavam stakir shitam.
Tave hamanasyan rinam vadam vanam.
Tave hamanasyan rinam vadam vanam.
Nayasya kaschid dayato asti karichit.
Nayasya kaschid dayato asti karichit.
Dveshyasya yasmin vishamamatir nrinam.
Dveshyasya yasmin vishamamatir nrinam.
So, manye, oops, no. Naveda. Naveda means know, to know something. To understand something. So Naveda Kaschit. Kaschit means anyone. No one can understand Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Chakirshitam. No one can understand his activities and pastimes, either in his dealings in the material world or dealings with all the different individuals or dealings in the spiritual world. Naveda Kaschit Bhagavan Chakirsitam. No one can understand his pastimes. No one can understand his plan. And then Tave, which is your Tava, Ihamanasya. Like the worldly people, they cannot understand. They find Nrinam. Like the worldly people, the people in general, Nrinam, Vidambanam. Such a good word, Vidambanam. It means bewildering. They find the people in this world, no one can understand what your pastimes and activities and plans are. And the people in general, the people in the world, find your activities completely vidambanam. What does vidambanam mean?
Bewildering.
What does bewildering mean?
Confusing.
Confusing, but a little more than confusing, just a little bit more confusing than confusing.
Are you wondering?
Huh?
Are you wondering?
Yes. Is your dictionary working?
It's not, but it also means almost a level of being crazed a little bit.
Yes, yes. Bewildered means you can't understand what is going on. Confusion also, it's like that, but very high level of confusion. And you can't understand what's going on. Just like sometimes when we wake up very early in the morning and we don't know who we are, we don't know where we are. Why are you all laughing? Does that happen to you sometimes?
Just finish your dream.
You finish your dream, you don't know if you're in the dream. You don't know. I once had a dream. This happened many, many years ago. I don't have this kind of a dream anymore. But I looked down and I saw some money, some gold. Nikunj, you have, this is your dream. Hey, this is Nikunj's money. So I looked down and I saw some gold. And I, oh, very nice. I picked it up and put it in my pocket. And then right next to it, I saw another piece of gold. And I picked that up. Oh, this is really good. And I started seeing gold everywhere. And picking up my pocket. And then I started waking up. And then I thought, oh no, again. But no, I don't want to wake up. But one more. But it was all just illusion. It wasn't real. And I didn't have any gold in my pocket at all. And I didn't even have any pocket. What to speak of gold in my pocket? So to look at Krishna and see how he acted, the ordinary people become very confused. So we'll talk about why they become confused, and we'll read what Prabhupada says about that too. The worldly men, vidambanam, misleading, or bewildered, or confused. They cannot understand why Krishna does what he does. Because, for example, in Vrindavan, Indra sent down so much rain and tried to destroy the cows and people of Vrindavan, and Krishna reacted by holding up a hill. He could have, there are hundreds of ways he could have reacted to what Indradev did. But he held up a whole hill, Girira, Govardhan Hill, and all the people went under the hill. And the hill became like a great umbrella. So ordinary people will say, oh, this is a story.
Or ordinary people will say, well, why did he do that? Why didn't he just, if he wanted to, he could just go like this to Indra and then all finish? Or he could have gone like that and there'd be no rain. And he didn't say anything and it rained for 8 days continuously. And Krishna didn't say anything. He just held up the hill like this. And the residents of Vrindavan during that time, they just stared. They just looked at beautiful Krishna holding up the hill. They didn't get hungry. They didn't get thirsty. But ordinary people, when they hear this, or maybe they'll think, oh, it's a nice story or something, but they don't understand what's really going on. Or they'll understand that Krishna was kind to the residents of Vrindavan, but he wasn't kind to Indra or so many of the other asuras, the demons who attacked Krishna and killed them. He wasn't kind to them. He's showing favoritism to the residents of Vrindavan. He was always protecting and even hold up a hill to protect them, but others he kills. So this Krishna's activities are very bewildering. And then the third line, Nayasikaschid Dayato Asti Karichit. Because you never you never show anyone, make anyone your dayata, your object of special favor, anywhere. This, the word karichit means anywhere. But it looks just like Krishna is being kind to one group of people and being not kind to another group of people. Or he was driving the chariot of Arjuna, so he was favoring Arjuna, and by Krishna's grace, Arjuna was killing thousands and thousands and thousands of people. So he was cruel to everyone but Arjuna, it seems. People cannot understand the very mysterious ways that Krishna, who was unlimitedly powerful, unlimitedly intelligent, and unlimitedly clever, is acting. So not only is he not dayita, or especially dear, or favors one group of people, but also dveshad chayasmin vishama matir nvinam. So sama means seeing equally, and visama means partiality. I like this group, I don't like that group. It's very interesting that in the Vedic, when you read the different books of knowledge, it comes up many times that it says to favor one group over another group is childish. Specifically, that word is always used, it's childish. Childish. To like this one and not like this one. It's the petty, small-minded type of things that children get into. But this is basically what goes on in the world. And the adults of the world and the countries of the world and the political parties and the, even sometimes, because I take photographs, so not so much nowadays, but I used to read these camera forums on the internet. Does anyone else used to read camera forums? Do you, Mataji? No, only Krishna Leela. And your father, of course. But then they start, it's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. They start talking about lenses. This one person says, this lens is really, really good. Then another person said, yeah, it's really good for this reason. And then another person, it goes in waves. Then another person says, actually, that lens is not as good as you say. Lens is better than that one. And then another person agrees with him. And then very soon they end up fighting with each other and calling each other terrible names because one likes this particular camera lens and the other person doesn't like the particular camera lens. That's childish, but this is the way people are. This is Kali Yuga, that everyone is willing to fight over completely insignificant things. So Krishna is saying, no, only it's not true at all that anyone is especially dear to me, and nor am I inimical or envious or angry at someone. Because in this world we see some people are, they're wealthy, they're beautiful, they're healthy, nice family, good job, living peacefully. And then other people, difficulty after difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. and no peace, no happiness, no wealth, no health, one thing after the next. So people reading how Krishna, or the Supreme Lord, or God, or the Ishvara, he's in control of everything, they will think that, why is he giving him all the good things and me all the bad things? No one, of course, says, why is he giving me all the good things and why does it, and them bad things? And actually, everyone's fate is mixed, neither all good nor all bad. But people will think that the Supreme Lord, Krishna, or God, he favors one person or one group and doesn't favor another group. He's on one side and not the other side. And in the different, in World War II, on the Germans, on the army belt buckles, I don't know the German for it, but they had it on all the belt buckles of all the army men. It said, God is with us. He's on our side. And the other side was saying the same thing. So this is bewildering to common people, and that's what Kunti Devi is saying. She's not bewildered, but she's explaining that to understand deeply Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to be deep. One can't be superficial. One has to think deeply. One has to associate with deep people. One has to study the deepest thinkers who understand the actual nature of the Supreme Personality. And one has to discuss these kinds of things to understand him. So here is Prabhupada's translation. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes. Naveda kaschit. Bhagavan Chakirchitam. Chakirchitam means pastimes. So Prabhupada has put in the word transcendental. Because why does he put the word transcendental in there?
Beyond,
yes. So what are Krishna's pastimes beyond? Okay, what does that mean? What does it mean that they are beyond the material existence? First of all, what does pastimes mean? We use the word pastimes. What does that mean?
Leela,
okay. Okay, but what does that mean?
Activities.
His activities. Whatever he does is his lila, his pastimes, his activities. And so why does Prabhupada put in the word transcendental? Because it's beyond, but what are his activities beyond?
The three modes,
yes, very good. Goodness, passion, ignorance. In other words, what's making him act is not what makes the same thing that makes us act. But yet he's acting, sometimes he's taking out the calves or the cows. So in this world, there are people who take care of cows. So what makes those people take care of cows? They want milk, they want money, they want this, they want to make... That's not what is motivating Krishna to take care of cows. Because what motivates us, what pushes us is... Sattva-gun, Rajagun, and Tamagun, the three modes of material nature. And what pushes Krishna is beyond that. It is beyond that. What causes Krishna to act, because he already, by definition, he has everything. So when you have everything, what could cause a person who has everything to act? So it's beyond what causes us to act. So what is it that causes Krishna to act? That is bewildering to common people. And this is what the Bhagavatam actually wants to introduce us to, is what is it like in the spiritual world where Krishna is acting just as he wants to act with his dear devotees? What is the forces at work? It's transcendental in the spiritual world. But what are the cause of the different activities? The Chakirchitam, the divine activities in the spiritual realm. What is the cause of those activities? Because the activities, they appear to be almost just like the activities of human beings in this realm, but it's just the opposite. The opposite meaning that which is the engine driving the activities of this world is completely different from what drives the spiritual world. And what drives the spiritual world is actually prema bhakti, love for Krishna. The devotees want to act for Krishna's pleasure, and Krishna wants to act for the devotees' pleasure. So this continuous interchange of variety of interactions between Krishna and his devotees, not based on I want, because I don't have, I want, which pushes us from one activity in this world to the next, I want. And in the spiritual world, it's, what does Krishna want? And the devotees in the spiritual world, they know what Krishna wants, because their very form of existence is a manifestation of their desire to serve Krishna. That's who they are eternally. They have an eternal forms to serve Krishna with. So it is a different realm. It is eternal realm. It is an ecstatic realm. And there's only, I want one thing. I want Krishna to be happy. And everyone knows just how to act to make Krishna happy. And there's so much variety in there. And Krishna, not being a dictator there that everyone must act to make me happy or you can't come to this spiritual realm because, yeah, everyone must make me happy. It's not like that at all. But what's Krishna's mood is not that, but it's how can I please these devotees who have given everything to me and only care about me? It is, how can I please these souls, not these souls always, but these persons who have given up everything to me and they have no consideration but for my pleasure, how can I serve them? So this is the mystery of the spiritual world, that Krishna is the Purushottam. He is the enjoyer. But the other, all the others there, because Krishna is so captivated by them, they enjoy even more than Krishna. So this is very mysterious. So therefore, it's bewildering. And they're all his energies, ultimately. We're his energy, too. Everything is his energy, from the carpet to the pillow, to the body, to the person in the body. It's all Krishna. We're all part of Krishna. So when the part surrenders to its position to serve the whole, then he's in his natural constitutional position. Natural. Constitutional means natural, foundational. So here's the verse again. We'll just read it again, and then we'll read Prabhupada's purport. Sri Radharaman, why don't you read it one more time?
O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and are so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial.
So here's Prabhupada's purport. The Lord's mercy upon the fallen souls is equally distributed. He has no one as the specific object of hostility. I was once in one holy place, not in India, but of a different religion. And there was one temple there. And there was writing in big, big letters on the temple. Big, big writing. And everyone and the people of that religion were praying in there. And then the people of another religion were about 100 meters away. So in the one I went into, I couldn't read it because it was in a different language. So one of the devotees I was with translated and said, and it said that God, anyone who is an enemy of us, you should kill them all. But of course, the people on the 100 meters away, they were praying just the opposite. But Krishna has no one as an object of hostility, because everyone is his part. Aham bija pada pita, everyone is his child. He is the father of everyone. The very conception of the personality of Godhead as a human being is misleading. Even though we see pictures of Krishna and his pastime is called Naralila, or human-like pastimes, his activities are like a human being. He grows up, he crawls through Vrindavan, he milks the cows, he plays with his friends. So they're human-like, but they're like humans' activities, but it's completely different. They're transcendental. So the conception of the personality of Godhead as a human being is misleading. His pastimes appear to be exactly like a human being's, but actually they are transcendental and without any tinge of material contamination. There is no touch of the mode of goodness. There is no touch of the mode of passion. There is no touch of the mode of ignorance. There is nothing of the material world, no need or desire that is pushing Krishna to act. He's acting out of love, out of his own desire. He is undoubtedly known to be partial to his pure devotees, but in fact he is never partial, as much as the sun is never partial to anyone. By utilizing the sun's rays, sometimes even the stones become valuable, whereas a blind man cannot see the sun, although there are enough sun rays before him. Darkness and light are two opposing conceptions, but this does not mean the sun is partial in distributing its rays. The sun rays are open to everyone, but the capacities of the receptacles differ. So what Prabhupada is explaining here is like the sun is shining. It's shining. It's in the sky, shining on everyone. But there are certain gems. It's called Suryakant. Did you ever hear Suryakant? Did you ever hear a Suryakant? Is a sunstone or something. Do you know about these things? No? Raj knows. Where is Raj? I was studying for his next exam. It's just one exam after the next, after the next, after the next. So the sun's qualities are transferred to a stone. And certain lotuses, they blossom by the sunlight. And the absence of the sun, or the sun rather, as Prabhupada explains about the darkness and the light, if there's a thief, he does his stealing at night. So for him, the sun is terrible. And when a person is sick, the sun rays are very, very helpful for him. And there's one bird called the Chakravarta bird who really likes the sunlight. He can fly around. So one creature is benefited by the sun, another creature is hurt by the sun, another creature is, there's some plants that are dried up by the sun, and there's other plants that are blossomed by the sun, and thieves are hurt by the sunlight. But this has nothing to do with the sun. This is just the reaction of the sun's rays that are going to everyone equally on the according to the different qualities that the different objects possess. So it appears that Krishna is only merciful to the devotees or to some people, but he's actually merciful to everyone. But his mercy takes different forms according to the quality of the person. If there's a mother and one child she's giving sweets to, and the other child has just tried to put the hand in fire. And so is the mother being cruel to one child and kind to another? No, not at all. When the judge says to someone, because you have committed this crime, you have stolen from the bank, you have to go to prison for 2 years. And another person says that because you have done well, you get a scholarship or something like that to the university. So it's not the kindness or the cruelty of the judge. Rather, he's reciprocating always with the individuals and thinking what is good for them. So if we actually have this vision, tateyanu kampam susamikshamano, bhunjaneva makvipava pakam, vidvagvipodam nidam namaste, jivate omuktipade sadaiva. If we have this vision that Krishna is being kind to me, and he's teaching me and helping me move towards him in every circumstance, and we reciprocate with Krishna, and appreciative and offer obeisances to him and see him in every circumstance, then then we are practically speaking in the spiritual world. because we'll be seeing Krishna in everything that happens. And it's true, but it's not easy to see like that, because we have a plan. We have a plan, and who's the center of my plan? It's me. And if Krishna does something that doesn't work with my plan, he must have made a mistake. He needs some reprogramming in his computer. There's some bugs in his program. So the sun rays are open to everyone, but the capacity of the receptacles differ. Foolish people think that devotional service is flattering the Lord to get special mercy. Factually, the pure devotees who are engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord are not a mercantile community. A mercantile house renders service to someone in exchange for values. The pure devotee does not render service unto the Lord for such exchange, and therefore the full mercy of the Lord is open to him. So without understanding really what devotional service is, people think that devotees will go to Krishna and pray so he'll be kind to them and give them what they want. But actually, that is not what a devotee is. A devotee is thinking how to please Krishna and give Krishna what he wants. So they're praying to Krishna to be able to serve him. And that's how Prabhupada translated the Hare Krishna mantra at first. How can I serve you? How can I serve you? Please allow me to serve you. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please accept me as your servant. Please allow me to serve you. How you want to treat me, that's not my interest. Please allow me to serve you. Please allow me to please you. So Prabhupada said here, not mercantile business, but because of their mood of service, the mercy of the Lord is open for them. Krishna, he takes their heart, or they take his heart. Suffering men, needy men, inquisitive persons, or philosophers make temporary connections with the Lord to serve a particular purpose. That's from the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. When the purpose is served, there is no more relation with the Lord. A suffering man, if he's pious at all, prays to the Lord for his recovery. But as soon as the recovery is over, in most cases, the suffering man no longer cares to keep any connection with the Lord. Just like you, when you're sick, you go to the hospital and see a doctor, and you're so thankful to the doctor, and then as soon as you're out of the hospital, then you forget all about the doctor, that he, you know, that he cured you, that he saved you, he stitched you back together again or whatever. So that's not the way a devotee deals with Krishna. The mercy of the Lord is open for him, but he is reluctant to receive it. He's not just trying to get something from Krishna. That is the difference between a pure devotee and a mixed devotee. A mixed devotee turns to the Lord, but he wants something. But the pure devotee, he only wants to serve, to please Krishna. And that's what everyone is sort of secretly longing for someone to want to please them, only care about pleasing them. And but we're not Krishna, so we don't deserve it. But at least Krishna gave us all mothers. And usually our mothers, it's the closest thing generally said in the material world to actual pure love. But in Kali Yuga, even that is upside down in so many cases. So in any case, and then so there are the devotees who only want to please Krishna, and then there are the mixed devotees who want to, they'll go to Krishna, and they want to please him, but they want to get something. So that's two different classes Prabhupada's described. But then there are those who are completely against the service of the Lord, and they're considered to be in abject darkness. What does abject mean? Complete ignorance, complete darkness. Those who are against the service of the Lord. Those who ask for the Lord's favor only at the time of necessity, when they want something, they are partial recipients of the mercy of the Lord. And those who are 100% engaged in the service of the Lord are full recipients of the mercy of the Lord. But such partiality in receiving the Lord's mercy is relative to the recipient and is not due to the partiality of the all-merciful Lord. So that means that our consciousness may be against the Lord. I don't want to be to give myself to him. Or maybe I want to give myself to him, But I also want my something in return. I want a new house and a Mercedes-Benz car and my own island also, by the way. But I want to serve him. So it depends, but Krishna, the moment we change that mood and say, okay, Krishna, I know nothing else can make me happy unless I serve you. Please allow me to serve you. Please accept me as your servant. If we change that mood, immediately we get the reciprocation with Krishna changes. The way he'll reciprocate, because it's not like he changes, but it's like, say, if the sun is shining in here and the curtains are closed, and I'm thinking, this room is so dark, this room is so dark, this sun room is so dark. Why did Radharaman make this room so dark? Why did Radharaman make this room so dark? But then as soon as I open up the curtain, as soon as I change that and let the sunlight in, then the sunlight is immediately there. So soon as we change ourselves, Krishna's mercy is fully available for us. And that's called surrender, sharanagati, giving ourselves to Krishna. Tava yachi chayasate yachase. Tava is min chayachase. That if someone even one time, in the Ramayana it said and quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that sakrideva papanastam tavasmi. One time says, Krishna, I am yours. And from that time always, it's like Krishna takes your name, even if you change your mind. But when if one sincerely does that, he says, he writes his name down, your name in his book. He has a little book, big book, maybe. And then from that time, dadam yitad vritamama, he says that I give him that person fearlessness, saradam, something. Savatam tasmai. From that time, this is my vow that I will award that person fearlessness. If one opens the windows and lets the sun in, one time, if one turns to Krishna, says, I am yours, one time, sincerely, not like a testing Krishna, I'm going to say, I am yours, and then let's see what you're going to do. See if I always, if I don't get any more red lights when I'm driving in my car. Not like that, but it's more like, Krishna, we pray that you don't get any red lights. It's all about Krishna. That's what Krishna consciousness means. It's all about Krishna. What will be pleasing for you, Krishna? So when the Lord descends on the material world by his all-merciful energy, he plays like a human being, and therefore it appears that the Lord is partial to his devotees only. But that is not a fact. Despite such appearance, apparent manifestation of partiality, his mercy is equally distributed. In the presence of the Lord, in the battle of Kurukshetra, all persons who died in the fight before the presence of the Lord got salvation without the necessary qualifications, because death before the presence of the Lord purifies the passing soul from the effects of all sins, and therefore the dying man gets a place somewhere in the transcendental abode. Somehow or another, if someone puts himself open in the sun rays, he is sure to get the requisite benefit both by heat and ultraviolet rays. Therefore, the conclusion is that the Lord is never partial. It is wrong for the people in general to think of him as partial. So that was Prabhupada's purport. Oh, that's after 8. So just a couple of minutes of questions, if there's any questions. Thank you. Any questions? Any comments?
Prabhu, for the pastime that you mentioned about why Krishna would perform his pastime, especially for his devotees, is that right? So what about for the people striving to become a devotee? So what is the message? What is the pastime for?
That by hearing of them, they become purified. That's bhavosh, bhava oshad, and it's pleasing to the heart, but they become purified. And it is said, this will come up later. He says he performs his pastimes because that'll be the next topic after this topic about the bewildering nature of Krishna's activities and his person. The next topic is why he comes to this world, the different reasons why he comes to this world. So the conclusion is that he comes to this world to perform his pastimes to attract us, because it's purifying. And what that means, purifying means that the desire to be with Krishna, to serve Krishna, comes to our heart and grows. Because we all have so many desires, so many desires. So depending upon our association, who we associate with, what we put our time into, those desires will grow or lessen. So by hearing about Krishna and the association of the devotee, the desire to become a devotee grows in the heart.
Can we say also that it teaches a moral of this pastime?
It teaches...
the moral?
Of which pastime?
I mean, any pastime or...
Well, teaches... See, there's two ways to look at it. One is that there's the pastime and activity. And then there's... the second way is that there's a lesson to be learned through the activity. Yeah. So which is higher?
Lesson?
Huh?
Lesson?
Almost. Almost. Just the pastime itself is the highest, because it's Krishna's interaction of the devotees. There's no lessons on that level. Mm-hmm. But there are so many lessons attached to the different pastimes. There are so many different things that we should learn. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, the highest thing is just see how Krishna is dealing with his devotees and how they love him and how he loves them. And it's so attractive. It's so appealing to the heart. And Krishna's way of dealing is so wonderful. And the devotee's way of dealing is also so wonderful. So this is the exchange of love. To be participate in these exchanges of love is what every soul is actually longing for. Good question. Thank you. Okay, if there's any one more question, we can have it. If not, we shall end.
The last word that said that people only imagine that you are partial.
Yeah.
But Krishna is actually partial to devotees, in one sense.
But he's partial to the... See, this is also in the Bhagavad Gita, ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maya teteshu chapyaham samaham savabhuteshu. But as the super soul, this is speaking a little bit on a lower level than that, as the super soul, he's equal to everyone, even though different people seem to be getting different treatment from him. But because he's specially kind to the devotees, doesn't mean that he's unkind to the not devotees. Like in some religions, they say if you're a member of this religion, you're going to, you know, you go to heaven. But if you don't do this, you know, you're going to burn in hell forever and suffer eternally because God is angry at you and things like that. There's so much of that kind of talk, but that's not the philosophy of Krishna consciousness at all. Is that his kindness takes different forms. So although he's especially kind to his devotees, but he's kind to everyone. Just like the one that the mother goes like this to. It's a way of expressing her affection for that naughty child. There's no anger or enmity or not well wishing for that child. So it's really that point that's being made. So Prabhupada, so he said it's wrong for the people in general to think of him as partial, but because Prabhupada said the people in general, but there are certain elements that... Then another way to say it, though, is that if Krishna is partial to his devotees, then anyone can become a devotee and get Krishna's partiality. So in that sense, that he's impartial to everyone.
Isn't that the reception, because devotees have a clean reception towards Krishna, that is giving a partiality. So it's not partiality, but the devotees themselves are very receptive to Krishna's love, and they are getting reception from Krishna.
Yeah.
So if somebody sees that as partial, so it's only imagination that Krishna is partial, mm-hmm. but it's only the reciprocation between...
The receptivity.
The receptivity between a devotee and Krishna
is
allowing... in people's eye to see that he's partial.
So he's open. Krishna is open to anyone to be receptive to him.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's basically the point that it's being made here.
I think you mentioned before, it's about the sun, yes?
Yeah.
But the rays of light is touching everything. It depends on which they are touching. So
it's the quality of the element that's being touched that causes different results. But it's not the sun that's causing the different results.
So obviously for that element, which is quality or whatever we call it, it will have a different effect.
On that. But the sun's rays are the same.
Yeah.
So that's the sun rays are the same.
So it's only imagination that, you know, he's partial.
What's wrong? It's wrong information, wrong understanding. It's bewilderment.
Yes.
That's the word that actually used, vidambanam. Isn't that a good word?
Yes.
Vidambanam. Okay, we don't want to keep everyone too late. So tomorrow night?
Yes.
Again, and then night after we will serve Lord Nisringadev, and then we'll have another class the night after on Saturday, Krishna willing. Sri Nisringa Bhagavan Ki Jai, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Mad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Kati Devi Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Ki Jai, Maharaj Ki Jai, Gopinath Ki Jai, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai.